So this is Katie Hunter from MMA UK. I'm here with Modestus Bukauskas. How did I do?
Spot on, actually. The best pronunciation I've heard in a while, to be honest with you.
There were so many syllables for me to mess up with.
I can imagine you must have been at least trying to practice that for about 15 minutes before the call started. All right, let's get this right.
I was watching like your YouTube fights over and over, like trying to get the ring announcers, but even they had different pronunciations of it.
Yeah. We've had a lot, but I think they're starting to catch on slowly.
It's a bit unfair when you're a kid, like learning to spell your name. It must have taken you quite a bit longer than all the other kids.
I think that was the hardest part of school, just trying to spell my own damn name, not the actual schoolwork. but do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, like with my family being Lithuanian stuff, they still, you know, they'll still talk to us in Lithuanian and stuff like that. So obviously we still had that sort of flair, like running behind us the whole time. But Obviously we caught on along with the English and stuff like that, just because my parents wanted me to do well in school here. So they sort of just said, just stick to focusing on the English. We don't want to get mixed up. So hopefully I ain't done too bad in terms of being able to speak English well.
No, you do. Yeah. You're actually one of the more eloquent case writers. Like, all of your interviews, you come across really, really well. And I think that's great to have people who, you know, kind of dispel the stereotype of cage fighters, you know?
Yeah. Definitely the crazy guys getting hit in the head all the time. Yeah. but it's good because, you know, I have to thank my parents a lot. You know, they put me in private school and stuff like that. So, you know, they helped me out a lot to try and, you know, achieve sort of my full potential. Don't get me wrong, like private school was a massive ball ache. It was probably the hardest thing, just going to school and doing the work. But it's definitely helped me out to this day. So obviously I've got to give them massive credit, you know.
So they paid all that money for your education and then you ended up...
Seriously. my mum's still scratching her head now, like, I thought you were going to become a lawyer or a bank girl. What's this fighting deal for, you know? But I've had a crazy roller coaster in terms of schools. Well, I moved to schools quite a lot, and then I actually moved to America for 2 years. And I played basketball out there. I played American football. So, you know, it was a good way for me to sort of find my feet and realize that I needed to come back and you know, pursue MMA fully. Just because I didn't get any scholarship offers out there. So, or, you know, ones that would make me want to stay. So I guess it was a sort of a blessing in disguise, because it made me so much more athletic for my fight game now. So yeah, again, I've got to be, and I made some amazing, you know, relationship with people. I'm still really good friends with people, and you know, I'm pretty sure there'll be some sort of reunion coming up at some point. It'll be crazy to see how everyone's got on since, you know, 18 years old, 7 years ago. Crazy to think.
Maybe at one of your fights.
Seriously, do you know what I mean? Maybe we'll go out in Vegas one day.
So yeah. Are you named after a basketball player? Because when I was looking up your name, there's like a famous Lithuanian basketball player.
It's funny you've done your research, because honestly, no one else caught on to that. Yeah, there's a famous basketball player. His name's Modestus Bukauskas, and he's actually, like, I think he's one of like the more well known sort of basketball players. I'm pretty sure my dad told me he named me after that. So, unfortunately, it didn't go the way of the basketball side, but, you know, I still played for about 5 years. So, you know, I still had a little bit of that running through me. But yeah, it's definitely one of the more sort of unusual names, I guess you could say. But I love it. You know what I mean? It's very good to be cool. Different. Do you know what I mean?
And I was looking up the meaning as well, and it means like calm and reserved.
I'm not too sure about that. do you know what I mean? That's mad. To be honest, I didn't really look in too much into the meeting or anything. Good to know now. You've caught me on to a bit of knowledge there. Calm. Never knew that.
So you are the current light heavyweight Cage Warriors champion. You won it at Night of Champions, which was obviously an amazing evening of fights. The biggest one for years, if not ever. what really stood out to me looking at your social media was this one post where you said, like, if there was one word that could sum you up in your whole life, it's underestimated. Mm-hmm. Do you really feel like that? Because you were the underdog going into that fight, and I'm not really sure why.
Yeah, I feel like it's been like that, like I say, my whole life. It's just sort of been the running theme, and I think now's my time to sort of prove those people who have underestimated me wrong. But to be honest, I love it. I've learned to embrace that fact, the fact that people don't think I'm going to do so well, or they think the other guy is going to do better. I mean, it's happened throughout my whole sort of my schooling career, my athletic career. You know, when I was in school, you know, all the teachers kept on telling me, oh, you need to study more. I don't think your GCSEs are going to be that good. I don't think you know, because the school I went to was quite prestigious. And then they said, you know, you needed 5 A's and 5 B's. And, you know, I literally proved them wrong already from there then. And then afterwards they're saying, oh, yeah, I always knew you were going to do well. And I'm like, yeah, sure you did. That's not what you said a couple of months ago. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, and especially in the sporting career, in basketball, you know, like I used to be the kid that would get picked on the most in terms of, you know, if I made a mistake, he would go mad at me. But, you know, those sort of experiences, I think, definitely help out in terms of mental toughness, you know, because I had to become mentally tough to endure all the hassle. I'm very thankful for him doing that now. He's an amazing coach. But yeah, people sort of haven't really recognized. I see there's other fighters who are getting, you know, like recognized a lot quicker, or people are trying to promote them and push them a lot more. And I haven't got such attention. I mean, I think throughout my whole life, I've always been that guy who wanted to be the popular guy, or, you know, the one who's getting seen by the crowd and this and that. And it's just, you know, like I wouldn't say it's happened that way. So for me, I love it because I can use it as fuel. I can use it as fuel to train harder to try and prove these guys wrong. And like I say, I love it. Like when I was, you know, quite a big underdog for my last fight, it brought like a bit more of a fire underneath me to go and say, listen, you don't know what I'm all about. And I think that's the thing. People don't really still know what I'm all about yet. And it's now my time to sort of show that and prove that. I think it's taken, you know, throughout my career, I've had a very sort of rocky slope on trying to push out all my skill sets. And I still think to this day, I've not even unleashed everything that I'm even capable of. But I'm glad that I've had all these different lessons and the sort of the building blocks every single fight to slowly bring that out even more. I think I said in an interview before my last fight, even I was trying to find the range over the course of those 4 rounds. And then finally in the 4th round, I started to feel that and started to land my shots. So, yeah, it's just a case of slowly bringing that confidence out, slowly bringing the skill set out. And, yeah, like it's a very powerful tool. Like, you know, some people say, oh, yeah, you shouldn't look into what people say too much and blah, blah, blah. But I generally think hate and, you know, like, you know, sort of people looking down on you is a massive cause for fuel for you to train harder, for you to want to show out. And like, I feel like in a pressure situation now, I want to embrace that. Like, it's a great feeling when, you know, the odds are stacked against you. You're in a really hard spot. Now just learn to try and enjoy it. So, yeah, that word just like literally rings through my head all the time. And now it's my it's just my job to slowly iron out everything and prove that I am at a very high caliber level.
Yeah, I'm actually listening to an audiobook at the moment. It's Michael Bisping's audiobook. And he quite often felt like that. There's like a theme that runs through the book a bit. He obviously held the title that you've now got and went on to the UFC and to become a UFC champion and in the Hall of Fame. So
yeah, exactly.
Being so underestimated can't be that bad.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, if it works for him, I'm hoping it's going to work for me too, you know? So, yeah.
I think the thing that impressed me the most about you in that fight was your movement. You kind of like danced in and out, like your movement was like that of a much smaller weight fighter. It's super impressive.
Yeah, I've got to give a lot of credit, obviously, to all my coaches, and especially my dad, because he's taught me since I was 5 years old, and he started me doing kickboxing and sambo, and that sort of got my movement to where it was at. I mean, listen, people may not believe it, but I used to be a real skinny kid. Like, for most of my schooling career, they used to call me weedy and you know, and all sorts of stick man, whatever else you want to throw out there. But you know, obviously, again, I've got to give credit to being out in America, because their strength and conditioning programs are like top class, especially the school that I went to. They're very sports focused. So, you know, like they did all, that's where I learned all of the Olympic lifts. That's where, you know, I realized that there are guys who are a hell of a lot stronger than me at even like 17, you know, 18 years old. These guys are insane. So, I think a lot of the movement and stuff like that is brought up, again, from an accumulation of all the different training I've done over the years. I feel like if I didn't take a break away from fighting to go and pursue other sports, I wouldn't have had as much athleticism. Yeah, maybe you could say, you know, certain techniques would maybe be a bit more flush. But again, you know, you've got fighters that start a lot later anyways. But I was happy that I was able to pick things up. But yeah, I think the kickboxing, you know, my dad always taught me to be light in my feet and not to stay stuck in the ground. And but to be fair, you know, like even now with my training, I'm trying to learn to stay a bit more planted sometimes when I want to get off bigger shots and stuff like that. But I guess it's the kickboxing sort of regime that got me to try and be a bit more like movement orientated, especially because they were shouting at me on the corner. There's no way I wasn't going to do it, but them just shouting at my ear for like literally, you know what I mean? So I've got to be very thankful for them with their amazing instruction as well.
Yeah. And you said you felt like it took you that long to find your range. So those championship rounds, do you feel like they work in your favor?
Yeah, I feel that, you know, obviously, I've had a tendency to fight guys who want to grapple me, you know, like, and so that gives me, obviously, I have to watch out for the takedown and I have to fight a little bit differently. Not exactly, I'd say, hesitant, but you have to take your time, because you, again, like I say, you have to feel that range of your shots so that they don't dip in underneath. And obviously, we've been working extensively on stuff like that. I mean, ideally, I want to throw more sort of crazy strikes earlier and try and finish it earlier. But again, it's a fight. You take what's given to you. So, you know, first round, I had to weather a little bit of a storm, and then second round, starting to feel it more. Third. So in that particular fight, because I've got to give Marvin Hamlet credit. He moved quite well as well. And there was always that fear as well. No, I wouldn't say fear, but you know, you're always like thinking, okay, there could be a potential takedown here and stuff like that. So I did have to fight a little bit differently, a little bit more cautious. I had to fight, but it was good. You know, I had a big cage, so again, I had all that space to sort of, you know, move about. But I wanted to try and stay a little bit more in the pocket. And then, yeah, as you saw in the fourth round, it just gave me once I started landing that jab, the right hand started landing behind it. So I think, In a way, I sort of learned a lot from that fight, because now I can implement the things that I did in the later rounds earlier. So again, every fight for me is just a great learning curve, and that's what's going to help me improve and obviously show more of my skill set.
And the next fight is at Cage Warriors London next month, November 22nd. Another step up in competition. I'm probably going to butcher his name now. Ricardo Nosiglia.
Yeah, Nosiglia. Yeah.
I'm on a roll here, guys.
Yeah, getting all the names right, all the foreign names.
What are you expecting from him?
I know that he's going to be, again, he's a very good athlete, very good fighter. He's had all finishes in all of his fights, all by TKO. So he's going to be aggressive. He's going to have some powerful shots and good wrestling. But again, I've seen that where we're training to deal with that, to overcome that. And yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, I just got to put it all out there. As long as I go out there and put it all on the line, like I did in my last fight, then I'm 100% sure I'm going to come out of the win and defend my belt. He's a very good competitor, and you know, like they've given me a great opponent. but yeah. This is my time to shine, and I know that I'm gonna put out more strikes earlier on, and once I weather the initial storm, that's when I'm gonna pick things up.
And you're on a 5-fight win streak. Your confidence must be so high at the moment. Well, how big of a part does confidence play?
It's a massive thing, because confidence, if you don't have it, it makes you shell up. Like, I know Conor McGregor says that quite a lot. Yeah, if you don't have a positive mind frame, or a mind frame that you don't really care and you're just going to go for it, you're not going to be able to throw your most devastating strikes, and you know, you need to have that as you go into fights. But the thing that I think that I guess that drives me is, yeah, okay, on paper I'm the champion, but I don't feel like I'm the champion. I've not even defended my belt yet. So, you know, for me, having that constant, you know, you're chasing something all the time, you're chasing greatness, you're chasing trying to become better and stuff like that, it only makes me more dangerous as I go on. And as I say, because I learn a lot from these fights, the more I fight, the better it is for me in terms of showing out more my skill set. And like you said, that in terms of that, just even just going out there and learning from it, that's what gives me confidence. And the confidence from the training room, yeah, like you just can't be shy in these situations. You gotta just embrace the fact that you're under pressure, some guy's trying to knock you out, you know. And I think in that case, that's what brings the best out of me. And I think in most people who do well, is that when you're put under that pressure, you have to step up. Like if you step down a level, you're going to get beat. So you have to rise to the occasion. And I've learned over the course of my life, I think maybe not so much earlier on, but now, like when I go into fights, I'm loving it. Like that feeling of adrenaline, that rush, that sensation, everything, I'm enjoying it madly. And I think when you start enjoying it and you're going out, then you're playing to, you're sort of playing to everything a little bit more. Like, you know, you're sort of feeling the music whenever it starts playing, like the entrance song and stuff like that. And then you go in there. Yeah, and it's like, you know, what's the worst that could happen? Oh yeah, you lose, you get knocked out, you get submitted, blah blah blah. I've had both those happen to me. So now it's just a case of just go out there and put it all on the line, because I know when I put it all out there on the line, that's what's gonna make me come out victorious.
That's made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up there. That's exciting.
I've been practicing these speeches at home. You just don't know about it, Katie.
So in an ideal world, how many times would you like to defend your belt before you get the call from, obviously, like we're in the mid 90s now with number of fighters who've gone through Cage Warriors to the UFC. How many more fights would you like in Cage Warriors?
Listen, as many as it takes, but I do feel I am UFC level right now. And I feel like this is the fight that's going to show that I am at that caliber and I'm at that level. You know, I see a lot of guys with, and you know, like obviously they're great fighters, you know, and they've obviously shown out their skill set real well. But you know, guys going out into the UFC with records of, you know, 5-0 and stuff like that, 7-0, you know, you almost feel like, oh, you know, my record's 9-2, surely I should get looked at. But at the end of the day, if they feel that I haven't showed enough yet and I need another fight, then I'll just have to keep proving that I'm at that level. But I'm 100% sure this next fight, I will show that I'm UFC level.
And I feel as well like this, the division is quite shallow at the moment in the UFC. There's been a few high profile retirements this year. I feel like it's really crying out for new blood.
You know, they've got very top guys, but yeah, like you said, it needs to become a little bit more deeper. They need, I guess they just need more young guys, you know what I mean? They need young, hungry, athletic guys, just like John Jones when he was in his prime. You know, he came up and he, you know, just pretty much smashed everyone young, you know, and he's still very young now, even to be honest, in the MMA game. So yeah, it'd be nice to sort of, you know, mix things up for that division and bring more entertainment to the crowd and to the fans, you know what I mean? It would be nice to feel excited about, you know, the heavier weights. And obviously, I'm here looking to bring that excitement for the heavier weights.
Yeah. And is John Jones the dream matchup for, like, in the future?
Do you know what? He is literally obviously a massive role model of mine. I look up to him highly, you know.
In the cage, I hope.
Oh yeah. and you know, yeah. he's an amazing fella. Like, I mean, look, I trained with him when I was 22, so yeah, about three years ago. And I think I just turned 22 when I was training with him. And you know, he showed me a lot of respect and stuff like that. And you know, we trained a lot together and blah blah blah. So obviously, you know, when your idols become rivals, they say, you know, obviously, I've got to work my way up. I've got to beat top guys and this and that. But obviously, that's the dream matchup for anyone who's fighting a light heavyweight. And it would be amazing to test myself against, you know, what most people call the greatest fighter of all time. So yeah, obviously I would love to have that, but at the same time, it would be like, you know, Israel Adesanya fighting Anderson Silva. It's like seeing your idol, the guy that you've been looking up to for so many years, and then standing in front of the cage in front of him. I can only imagine what that experience would be like. But yeah, just got to keep winning, keep putting on impressive performances, and you know, maybe someday that will happen.
In your mind, are you expecting the call after this fight, or is that jumping the gun?
In my mind, I am. Yeah, 100%. Because I feel I have showed enough to be able to, and I know I'm ready to fight at that level. I feel it's good for me as well to get even more experience to go fight another tough guy, you know, great record, another big show. This is my first main event. I've not been on a main event in Cage Warriors since the beginning, so it's good to feel something different there, you know, being on the main card. Main card. So, you know, there's a lot of things that sort of go into it. But in terms of like the feeling, like you said before, the confidence and, you know, being out there in the cage and fighting on big events, I feel like that's what's going to bring out the best of me. And the next step in order to show the best of me is to fight in the UFC. I feel I'm ready after this fight to go. But again, we just got to, you know, finish the fight, you know, go and win and still be the champion. And then, see what happens from then on. But yeah, like I said, I definitely feel like I'll be ready after this fight.
Oh, that's super cool. I hope that phone call comes for you.
Thank you so much.
What else is in your life, Modestus? Have you got a day job, or are you a full-time athlete? Have you got hobbies, or is your whole life the gym?
I'll tell you a little story. So basically, I've been working at a gym called the Gym and Tonic Club. Right. And so, yeah, you know, pretty catchy name. But basically, they do like a group training. So sort of like you need, it's like a boutique gym, you know, it's sort of, you have four people that you're training for one trainer. There's four people and you're giving them adaptation, different, you know, and it's different stuff every single day, pretty much. So I was doing that for about 2 years, and you know, just before this title fight came, now the hours, it was 6 till 11:30. So imagine after I finished training sessions, like, you know, I'll sometimes, like, even to try and get an interview with you, it's been difficult just because my training session, sometimes I finish at like, you know, 10 o'clock 9:30, and I'm driving home, I've got a long journey from, all you know, traveling all over the place, and then, you know, by the time I get to bed, by the time, you know, and your body's sore and whatnot, and you have to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and get ready to, like, work at 6. I'm not talking like you're sitting down and sort of, I'll just tell you, wake up. You have to be jumping about. I mean, me personally, I'll be dancing about everywhere, you know, picking up weights and stuff like that. So it's a very physical job. At the beginning, I'd work 6 mornings. And then 2 evenings. And then I had to cut it to part-time where I was working just mornings so that, again, I could focus more on training. And then, it had to get to the point where, and just before the title fight, obviously through sponsorships and people supporting me, which I have to give massive thank you to everyone, because the love and support is real. And do you know what I mean? Without them, I wouldn't be where I am right now. So I've got to give them a lot of credit. Those people know who they are. But yeah, so I was able to have enough money in order just to train full time about a month before the fight. So before that, I was still working every morning. And, you know, it just gets tiring on the body. You know, some days I'll have to miss one session because I was just so run down, you know, from being at active all the time, and then, you know, having to go train like 100% and yeah. stuff like that. So I decided to tell them I needed 4 weeks off anyways, just to focus on the fight. So they let me have time off. But then there came the question, basically an opportunity came up for me is to basically get sponsored enough so I could just pretty much just train full time. And, you know, I talked to my dad. I was like, this was about 4 weeks before the fight. We said, listen, we'll be able to land this sponsor. This is providing you go and win this fight. So he says, listen, yeah, he said, listen, I know you're going to do it, son. I know that you have it in you. If you believe in yourself, you got to believe in yourself. But I think you will. He says, I think he's just handing you notice right now. That was 4 weeks out. And I spoke to my dad. And I felt confident. I've been training hard. I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to take the plunge. I'm going to jump off the cliff and just go for it. I handed him my notice there and then. And then I never looked back. So it's crazy because I went from being sponsored as a full-time athlete to then, you know, everything raining down on me. And, you know, when I lost two fights in a row at middleweight, you know, loss of sponsorships, injuries, loss of relationships and stuff like that, everything on the downhill, then have to work my way back up, then, you know, have to go and work and, you know, get stuff like that. And now I'm back in the position I was, about 3 years ago when I was a sponsored full-time athlete. So I'm pretty much in the same position now with people helping me and supporting me. So I'm very grateful for this journey that I've had, because I feel if I did not have those experiences, I wouldn't be where I am today, not yeah. just physically, but mentally as well. I think mentally it was a big part for me to be able to show out my skill set. I feel if I didn't have those experiences, it wouldn't make me who I am today. And I'm eternally grateful for that. I'm glad there was the lows, because that's where the highs are going to come from. And the high right now is going yeah. like a freight train. I'm ready to just, you know, I'm using everything I'm using everything to my advantage. So, you know, I train hard. I'm doing the nutrition right. I can concentrate solely on just being a champion. And that's exactly what I'm going to show on November 22nd, is that I'm the champion.
Oh, that's incredible. What is like a fight camp diet like for someone in your weight class? Because you must burn a load of calories, but obviously you want to keep your physique. How many calories are you eating a day?
Do you know what? It was one thing. Do you know what? When I used to fight middleweight, you can only imagine. So imagine training two times a day, like hard and everything. I used to, before I had my nutrition sorted again after those losses and blah blah blah, I was eating like 1800 calories and training three times a day. So like, yeah, I was losing weight fast, but I was probably losing a hell of a load of muscle, and that was horrific, right? Yeah. And then I got an amazing nutritionist. His name's actually Paul Burgess. He has a company called, I believe it's Athletic Nutrition, but anyways, he helped me out a lot. He showed me, just to give you an example, so before, when I would start my weight cut, whatever, obviously I held a lot of water because I'm a sweet tooth fanatic. Oh my Lord. The Costco bakery aisle just gets demolished after every fight. You know what I mean? And the thing is, because like, you know, my ex-girlfriend, I would go to America and I would sort of, you know, indulge a bit too much and I'll get a bit too much out of weight. Now I try and control my weight a lot more, but anyways, so the first week I would eat 1800 calories every day, training as hard as I did, feeling absolutely terrible. But I would get down from 230 to 215, right?
Yeah.
And I did the same, basically, I lost the same amount of weight, but I was eating 3,100 calories a day. Like, that's mad. You're thinking, hold on a second. You're eating 1,000 more calories, pretty much, and you're literally losing the same amount of weight. It's because I was losing more fat. I was having more energy for my training session. I learned what things I needed to eat.
Yeah.
So right now, you know, I can cut comfortably on about 28 to 3,000 calories a day. And when it gets a little bit closer to the fight, I may drop to 2,500, but it's nothing too drastic. You know, like I said, I've learned to see what my body's like, how it reacts to certain stimuluses, you know, certain things. So, but like I said, I will give credit to, if I hadn't seen the nutritionist, I'd still be going. But to be honest, I probably wouldn't have moved up a weight class. So, you know, at the same time, yeah, even when I was following his program with Free Fighter, I could make middleweight. But now, I think after I injured my leg, which was a couple of years back, which is why I had such a massive long layoff in between my last middleweight fight and my light heavyweight debut. I packed on a lot of muscle just from working muscle groups I hadn't worked before. My dad introduced, there's a lot of things, you know, when you fail, you learn from your mistakes. So we had my dad's strength and conditioning program in place, and it just worked muscles that I wasn't really working before. And I added quite a lot of bulk and size just from, it's almost like I made newbie gains all over again. You know, when I went to America, they worked certain muscles and, you know, certain things, but there was a lot of stuff that I just wasn't doing. And then I packed, I don't even know how much muscle I must have put on, but definitely people told me, I put on quite a lot of size. And I think, again, a lot of credit for that goes to my dad for increasing my strength and my size to make me go up to be a, you know, a full blown light heavyweight.
So cool. So cool. Yeah. I was having a really similar conversation with Darren Stewart, actually, a few weeks back. This was the first camp that he had a nutritionist for, and he was saying the exact same thing about, he was cutting down to a ridiculously small number of calories to hit middleweight. And then this time around, he was on, again, over 1,000 more a day and still losing at the same rate. And a bit puzzled about why, but...
he looked amazing. He looked probably in the best shape he's ever been in his last fight. Had a great win. So, you know, it just comes to show, I think a lot of fighters are misled on what sort of things they need to do. That's why it does help to have someone who's... an expert in that field to help out, to show you what your body needs, because otherwise you're never going to know. So obviously I would advise any fighter coming up, you know, if you want to be real serious about MMA, you've got to be serious about the nutrition. Otherwise you need to fuel yourself for your training sessions, really. If you're not fueling yourself for the training, you need to get more out of your training sessions rather than cut down my calories and do less in training. Do you know what I mean? You want to make your calories more, but then get more out of your training sessions. So yeah, it's. I think a lot of fighters, you see a lot of fighters moving up in weight now. You'll realize that, you know, a lot of people realize that eating less is not the way to go. Trust me. When I was working as a personal trainer, the amount of times I have to, you know, dig that into people's heads, like, you know, they'll be on some horrendous calories, and I'm trying to tell them, oh yeah, but then they get too scared. It's an understandable human feeling, you know. You want to be under your calories, but so you definitely don't want to shoot over. But it's better even then just to be at maintenance, to just at least have your body do its normal everyday things instead of, you know, cutting down so low and then just not being able to move at all, you know. So.
And what do you notice a difference in power once you're in, or even stamina and kind of like tiredness? And I know a lot of people tell me that they just don't feel at their best when they're in the cage after their wake up.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had a problem stamina wise, even from like really harsh weight cuts, because middleweight, I mean, listen, if you ask me to get down, then I'll have to chop off an arm or something. Do you know what I mean? But I think. I think it does. I think it does affect the cardiovascular system. You know, I try and stay a lot closer now, especially, you know, like my weight cut week, I barely have to cut anything. And I think it's better to be like that because you feel more fresh. You don't want to suck all the nutrients and all the water out of your body. You know, that's just my personal experience. I know other people, you know, may be able to do things differently, but a lot of fighters, technically, they're not even lean enough to then do like a water cut. So it's also as well, you're having to be lean enough. And then when you're lean enough, you realize, well, hold on a minute, I'm actually a lot closer to the weight. And you don't have to have to go through these drastic water cuts. To be honest, my rehydration has always been good. So I've never really had a problem with that. I've never used IVs, but I've used a special system with, like, you know, the electrolyte tablets, like a good system that I was taught actually by Dean Amersinger. And I've used that protocol ever since, and it's just always made me feel good. But I definitely feel my legs don't get as tired. Like now, as soon as I finish like weighing in, I feel like, as soon as I've had like my first drink, I'm already refreshed, ready to go. I can fight there and then. Do you know what I mean? The one thing I'll probably still need to, you know, because I still, you know, have to cut a little bit. I'd say, you know, probably about 10 to just a bit less than £10. But yeah, it's, I think a lot of fighters find that they bloat after weigh-ins.
Yeah, I definitely see that on some of them.
Yeah, I don't get me wrong. I don't bloat anywhere near as much as I did a middleweight, but you still feel a little bit of it. I'm slowly getting to where I'm fine tuning what foods I need to eat and this and that. So, you know, it's all a learning curve, and I love it. I love the whole journey. It's good to find out things about your body, and I feel if you're not constantly trying to improve yourself every day, you know, like you're not really making effect, like you're not making use of life as much if you're not trying to constantly trying to better yourself. Obviously it's hard to try and better yourself, but yeah, definitely in the nutritional aspect I want to try and every single time be that much better. And as I say, I think I speak for every fighter when they say they want to try and move up a level every single time.
Yeah, it's something about the sport that I find really fascinating, the whole nutrition and weight cut inside of it, and the refuel is even more important. I did the first part of the certification for Lockhart and Lee, then they were saying that the rehydration is the most important part. If you miss weight, you forfeit usually 20% of your purse. If you lose, that's 50% of your purse. So, yeah. It's that rehydration is everything.
You want to be at your peak, obviously, when you're going out there in the cage. You know, you can't do that if you're dehydrated. And, yeah, I can definitely say that I did not look all that healthy when I fought at middleweight, so I'm glad I made the jump. I mean, even being 6'3", I don't think that there's that many 6'3" fighters fighting at middleweight. Probably, and like I can't help it, but my legs are just like huge. And like, do you know what I mean? I can't do nothing about that. But I think a lot of my weight gets held up in my legs. So, you know, obviously for aesthetics, you want that more in your upper body. But I'm glad that. That you know, I've got a more solid lower body. It definitely helps out with positions in MMA. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm even more buzzing for this fight after speaking to you. Is there anyone you'd like to give a shout out to before we go? Any sponsors or?
Oh my lord! The sponsors probably there's a very 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 long list of guys. I'll definitely post something a bit more on social media, but Sanctipue, great clothing brand, Mauler, checking out the Mauler gear.
Yeah,
trust me, people get on that because like this is honestly the most comfortable tracksuit I've ever worn in my life, like hands down. My dad wears his all the time. Definitely a great brand. It's just Mauler.com if anyone wants to go and check them out. Fighter Shop UK, absolute amazing fella. Helped me out with all my equipment and stuff like that. He's a lot. Distinct Physiotherapy. I'm actually going to see her tomorrow. But yeah, sorting me out for my fights, keeping me in tip-top shape. Black Sheep Dispensary, CBD. Listen, CBD is an ongoing thing in MMA. I'm very thankful for them because my recovery, again, has shot up using that. So I've got to give them a good credit. I've got to give thanks as well to all the people that, like, you know, helped me to train. Mill Hill Jiu-Jitsu, Roger Gracie's Academy, BST especially. They helped me a lot on getting up. I've got amazing training partners, Danny Batten, Denison Sutherland, amazing guy. Obviously, my dad, Gintas Bukauskas, like my mentor, my angel, the guy that pushes me through when no one believes in me. He's always the guy to help push me to the next level, and he's always believed in me. So yeah, I've got obviously thank my mum, my stepmom Rose, my sister, you know what I mean, like everyone who's like really 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 close to me. It's just everyone's little part in my success. Like everyone's got a part in me doing the best. I'm sorry if I've left anyone out because I know
we can tag them.
There's so many people I've got to thank. You know what I mean? Like they help out financially. They help out with equipment. So, but you all know who you are. You're all amazing people. Love you all. And yeah, we're gonna go and grab this title and still.
It's so exciting. It's coming up on November 22nd. Modestus is defending his belt and hoping for that call from the UFC straight after. It'd be great to have you on the London card in March.
Definitely. I think that's what the eyes are going to be on. So, yeah, let's go get this fight done. Go get that victory And then, yeah, things will definitely be shooting up from there.
Oh, Modestus, best of luck with the rest of your training camp. And thank you so much
for a wonderful interview. Oh, thank you so much, Kate. It was awesome talking to you. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me on. Yeah, really enjoyed
buzzing.
It. Thank
Absolutely
you.
Buzzing.
Yes, yes. Love it, love it, love
Don't
it.
Don't get healthy. I'll see you in November.
All right, nice one. See you in November, Katie.
Take care.
Take care. Bye.